We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V.E. Howard.
I invite your attention to this reading of the Word of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we are concerned about peace. We are concerned about Christ, the Prince of Peace. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of this prophetic declaration. He is the Prince, Ruler, and Captain of our salvation, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. As Prince, Ruler, and King, Christ has all authority in heaven and on earth. Just before his return to the Father, he declared, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and on earth," Matthew 28 and verse 18. As citizens of his kingdom, members of his church, all Christians are subject to his authority, he being the head of the church, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 22. It is an act of disloyalty and rebellion to God for man to follow after the doctrines and commandments of men, rather than follow the divine dictates of the Christ, the King, the Prince of Peace. To the Colossians, Paul wrote, "If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourself to ordinances? Handle not, nor taste, nor touch, all which things are to perish, with the using, after the precepts and doctrines of men." Colossians chapter 2 and verses 20 and 22. Christ is our lawgiver, our King. We must obey Him. A king, an absolute monarch, has the power to declare war or make peace at his option. Christ the King declared war when He came into this world. He said, "Think not that I came to bring peace but a sword." Of course, He was not talking about carnal warfare, but spiritual warfare. When one becomes a Christian, war is declared, and he must take up the whole armor of God and fight the good fight of faith. To the Ephesians, Paul wrote, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the tricks of the devil." And again he said, "Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand." Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 13. To the elders of this Ephesian church, in Acts 20, 28 through 30, Paul the Apostle warned, "Take heed unto yourself and to all the flock, in which the Holy Spirit hath made you bishops, to feed the church of the Lord, which he hath purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, and draw away the disciples after them." In this text, the Apostle declared that there is to be a fight from within and without, in the church and out of the church. Satan is not satisfied to do his work out of the church altogether, but he is determined to do all the harm he can in the church. No doubt, sometimes, he does more harm in the church than out of the church. It is indeed regretful that elders and preachers and other members of the church must spend much of their time and effort fighting the devil in the church, when the time and efforts are needed so badly opposing the devil and all of his forces out in the world away from the church. Think of all the accomplishments and the progress that could be made putting the devil on the run out of the church, if you please, if we did not have to spend so much time and effort fighting the devil in the church. It is the devil's delight to invade the Lord's church with his false doctrines and corrupt practices. Christians must oppose the devil in the church as well as out of the church. Many faithful men of God have borne the scars and battle marks of the engagement of the devil in the church as well as out of the church. Unfortunately, from time to time, men in the church have arisen teaching false doctrines and drawing away disciples after them to the hurt of the body of Christ. Faithful men of God must not hesitate to fight and to fight Satan and expose such false doctrines, so that the world may know the truth and souls may be saved, that men may be saved from the deceitfulness of error. Some men would cry, "Peace, peace," when there is no peace. In the long ago, God, through the prophet Jeremiah, said, "They have healed also the hurt of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace." Jeremiah 6, verse 14. There can be no peace on this earth as long as the enemy of truth and righteousness prevails, as long as false teaching and sin and ungodliness are seeking to destroy the spiritual forces of God on this earth. A Christian must be a good soldier of the cross and get into the fight, pledging his life in complete obedience to the captain of our salvation, Jesus the Christ, the Prince of Peace. A captain is selected for his ability as a leader. He marches ahead of his company and gives orders, not only by word, but by example. He will sacrifice his life for his followers and his cause if necessary. Christ, our captain, fills these qualifications in every detail. He is our leader, our guide. Not only has he given orders to be obeyed, but by example, he has shown us the way. His life, dedicated to truth and righteousness, was given in sacrifice for all who would follow him. It was he who declared, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Then he concluded, "Ye are my friends if ye do the things which I command you." John 15:13-14. He was the perfect example in life, in word, and in deed. He sacrificed his life for all who would follow him in truth and righteousness. Oh yes, my friends, we must be concerned about Jesus the Christ, the captain of our salvation, the Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, because he has become our sacrifice. Truly, he took our place. Jesus, the Prince of Peace, did not advocate peace at any price. Peace at any price is a victory for the enemy. A compromised peace and appeasement is the surrender of our freedom we enjoy in Christ. There can be no compromise between truth and error, sin and righteousness, God and Satan. The battle goes on as long as the enemy is in sight. The Prince of Peace orders no compromise with error. Hear him when he said, and these are most important words, may I say, are you listening? "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching of that doctrine the precepts of men." Matthew 15:7-9. And hear him again in verses 13 and 14 of the same chapter. He said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father planted not shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They are blind guides. And if the blind guide the blind, both shall fall into the pit." The faithful teacher of God's word cannot compromise the truth with error, even though the cry for peace is tempting and alluring. Paul charged Timothy, a gospel preacher, in these words, "I charge thee in the sight of God and of Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure the sound doctrine, but having itching ears will heap unto themselves teachers after their own lust, and will turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside unto fables." 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 4. Peace at any price, or the spirit of compromise, is contrary to the exhortation of Jude. In verse 3 he declared, "I was constrained to write unto you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered unto the saints." If a choice must be made between business, personal gain, political and social prestige, but honor among men, and loyalty to Christ and His Word, there can be no compromise. Even if one must oppose father and mother, son and daughter, husband and wife, the Prince of Peace declares that war may be preferable to peace. Herein, beloved, and I say again, are you listening? Jesus said, "Think not that I came to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. But I came to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that doth not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me." Matthew 10, 34 through 38. The price of peace is not always pleasant for the moment. We may have to oppose and expose some of our own friends and neighbors. We may have to oppose members of our own family in doctrine and practice. But the destiny of the souls of men are at stake. There can be no compromise. We must take a stand, regardless of the cost. Now, I can almost hear someone say, "Can there be no peace?" Oh, yes, my friends. The Prince of Peace is the author of a peace treaty which all men can comply with. To the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul wrote these words, "For he is our peace, who made both one and break down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, that he might create of the two one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile them both in one body under God through the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." Ephesians 2, 14 through 16. The Jew, the Gentile, the rich, the poor, the high, the humble, must become one in the one body of the church of our Lord, being wholly submissive to the will of Christ. Rebellion to the doctrine of Christ and rejection of His one church denies one peace with God and peace with the children of God. But thank God that of those who obey the commands of the captain of our salvation and respect the peace terms of the Prince of Peace, thus we may enjoy the peace with our God, that peace which passeth all understanding. The great and venerable apostle who experienced many battle scars victoriously declared, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, that is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me in that day, and not to me only, but also to all them that have loved his appearing." 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. As a benediction, the Prince of Peace inspired this great man of God, who never faltered, who never compromised, to write these words, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful." Colossians 3:15. The Lord is the Prince of Peace. When we follow His divine dictates, we can enjoy the true peace of mind that is experienced as a born-again child of God. If all the men of the world today would follow the Prince of Peace, we would be united in true Christian unity and fellowship as revealed in the New Testament. If the Prince of Peace ruled the hearts of all men in the world today, there would be no wars, no street demonstrations, no rebellions against authority, law, and order. The Bible declares that God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. 1 Corinthians 14:33. No doubt, many of you listening to me today do not have peace with God. The Prince of Peace is not the ruler of your life. Not only your life is in great distress, but you do not have a Christian home. There is no peace in your home. Ladies and gentlemen, there is but one answer. Let the Prince of Peace rule your life and rule your home. Come back to the Bible. Believe and obey your Lord. Surely you aren't happy the way you're living, knowing that in eternity you will be lost. Lost forever and forever. But you can enjoy peace with God, now and in eternity. There, in that great day of an eternal peace, you may live with God and Christ and the redeemed of all the ages.